Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, my fan friends, and welcome to Hullerstubber this week with the amazing Olga Cock. Ah, I started wearing reading glasses and now I'm blind if I take them off. What's the point of that? Hey, look, we're going through difficult times, but there's lots of fun stuff for us to do. We've got enough for Hullerstubbers to keep you going for a few weeks. We're going to try and do some more remotely, but you might be able to watch those live if you join me at twitch.tv/RK Herring. It'll be on the screen. twitch.tv/RK Herring. We're doing stone clearing 8 a.m. every morning for about 45 minutes. We're doing snooker at 7:30 p.m. trying to find the world's best self-playing snooker player. It's very exciting. Some fantastic snooker going on. We're going to do some Hullerstubbers, as I say, remotely. And all of it is free for the moment. But if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can give us free money at no cost to yourself by signing up for Twitch, linking your Amazon Prime and Twitch accounts, which you do by going to Amazon Prime, put Twitch Prime into the search engine, click on the Twitch Prime icon, go about halfway down the page. There's a little box saying link your accounts. Press that. Come back to twitch.tv/RK Herring. Press the subscribe button at the top. Roll down until you see the Twitch Prime subscription. Click that. You've just given us... Sorry, I've just been eating licorice. You've just given us $5 or something. We don't get all of it, but we get most of it. And it doesn't automatically resubscribe. So if you could put a little note in your diary, recurring calendar, go and subscribe to RK Herring on twitch.tv. You can give us that money every single month for no cost to yourself. If you think the podcasts are worth something, that would be a great way to pay us back. There's basically a huge pile of money that Ian Amazon is sitting on. I mean, he got divorced from his wife. His wife took a lot of the money, but he's still got loads of money. He thinks no one knows it's there, but you know it's there. Why don't you go, if you know anyone with Amazon Prime, make them do this. There's probably 10 million people who could do it in the world, at least, probably in the UK. So let's get them all to give me $5 a month, every single month, and then we can make feature films every single month once this madness is over. We're going to try and keep you entertained. Do stay safe. Do stay talking to your friends. If you're on your own, self-isolating, then please do come along to twitch.tv/RK Herring and you can join in. There's a bit of chat, a bit of fun. We'll try and do various things through the day. Keep an eye on Twitter for that. You know you can go to gofasterstripe.com and download DVDs and books and become a monthly badger. You know all this stuff. And just listening to the podcasts and old podcasts will help us raise money to help our Sky Potato Empire get through this little bumpy period of time. Let's hope it's a short period of time, but I've a feeling it might be a long period of time. We will try to keep you entertained for as long as we can. Thanks for listening to this long rambling start. Now let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Rahela Stapa with Olga Koch.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cambridge Corn Exchange. You haven't seen me yet, remember. Please welcome a man who is disgusted to return to Cambridge with the most disgusting travelodge in the world in it. It is Richard Herring. That's more like it. That's good. You're much better than the audience who I did the warm-up to. Whoever did this warm-up was a fucking fantastic comedian, because I tell you, you've turned on a sixpence. Welcome! Welcome to Richard Herring's Liverpool Street Train podcast. It's, got to come up with a new idea for a podcast. There's so many podcasts out there. This one is just the best way to escape Cambridge. That is basically just, that's just get on a Liverpool Street-based train. Just advice on how to escape this horrible city. The nicest city in the world. Though I was hanging around in the Ascension Parish burial ground the other day, near the grave of Ludwig Wittgenstein, his ghost appeared and said, "Whereof one cannot speak, thereof must be silent." But I call it Rehelstapa. That's what he said. So I don't know if that's going to catch on. Ludwig Wittgenstein's. He's buried in Cambridge. That's the research. And it is lovely to be back in Cambridge. This is the site, I've talked about this on the podcast before, this is the site of the Travelodge where I was at the Junction, a much smaller venue than this one. It was full, though. I was staying in the Travelodge right opposite. It was very convenient, but I realised when I got into the room, I was so tired on tour, the shower curtain in my bathroom had a huge bogey on it, belonging to a previous inhabitant of the room, which is not a good sign in any way, is it? But I was too tired and too scared to complain, so just when I had a shower, I just pushed the shower curtain very far away and vowed never to stay in a Travelodge ever again, which should also be a vow you should make, my friends. This is... It'd be good if Travelodge choose to advertise on this podcast. They will be disappointed. Do not go there. So we're in Cambridge. Famous, of course, for the Cambridge diet. Came out in the 1990s, as did this joke. I may have done this joke, the Cambridge Corn Exchange, with Lee and Herring in about 1994. The Cambridge diet involves cycling everywhere in a long black coat, a long black gown, and being rude and obnoxious to ordinary, decent working people. That is the... Yes, you don't lose any weight, but it does entitle you to a part in any film by Kenneth Branagh. 1990s, so it's fine, it's a 1990s joke. What else have I learnt about Cambridge? I didn't know this until I was in Oxford, actually, but Cambridge was established by Oxford scholars. Did you know that? So you're just the offshoot. And they were Oxford scholars who were too scared of living in Oxford and ran away because there was lots of riots and stuff. It was the scaredy-cat Oxford guys who couldn't even... were so scared of living in Oxford, probably because of the car plant. There's a lot of working-class men up there. So... might not have been a big thing in 1308, you're right. That was the joke. It's all right, keep up. Cleverest fucking audience in the world. So what I'm saying is Oxford is better than Cambridge. That is what I'm trying to say there. Byron, of course, was furious when he went to his college. He couldn't keep a dog in his room. He had a dog and it was against college rules for him to keep a dog. So instead, Byron kept a bear in his room. Did you know that story? That's amazing because there was no rule. There was no legal basis for the college to get rid of the bears. They had to let him keep it. Or they could have just changed the rules and said, you can't have a bear in it. It's literally that easy. Idiots. People in Cambridge are idiots. That's literally all I've got for you. And we're going to go home. There'll be maybe more in next week's show. We'll find out. There may not be. It's such a lovely place, Cambridge. It was very hard to... You come to some places. I was in Manchester. That's an easy place to take the piss out of. Birmingham. Oh, awful. Cambridge is just lovely, and it's like living in Harry Potter world. What can you take the piss out? Nothing. It's too lovely. Anyway, my guest this week is probably best known for being the writer of These Women Wear Strap-ons to Work. That's why we're here. Yeah. Sounds good, doesn't it? We're going to find out more about that. Will you please welcome the amazing Olga Koch, ladies and gentlemen? Hello, come in. You can sit here. There's a microphone. Everything. We thought of everything.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Olga. How are you doing?
That's such an excellent credit to have chosen. Thank you so much.
It's all right. Tell us a bit. I've watched it. I've watched you. You wrote it. I think you might be in it. I don't think you were in the...
I was at the very end. Oh, one of the only women not wearing a strap-on.
Okay. So what's the premise behind the women wearing strap-ons to work?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Basically, the idea is that women aren't getting the respect they deserve at the office, so in order to get the respect they deserve, they just wear strap-ons to work.
It's pretty good.
I mean, the best part of it was to getting the BBC to buy strap-ons, and then the producer being like, I had to give this to my boss, and it said, like, hot pink, naturalistic.
Whoever had to give the receipts into accounts, that would have been. And there's a bit where one of the cocks gets cut off with one of those paper slicer things.
A lot of people in the comments believe that this was a real thing that happened in an office.
Oh, really?
And it brings me so much joy.
So, Olga, what a life story you've had. I don't want to hear about it. So, just for people who might not be aware of who you are. You were born in Russia.
All of you. Also, can I just say that you... Okay, so I was in a final of a comedy competition a couple years ago, and you hosted it, and this is such a beautiful full circle moment for me. I'm so honored. I'm so blessed. Thank you so much.
It's okay. It's lovely to have you. You're a fantastic stand-up comedian. And I remember that. I was probably quite drunk and eating pizza. That's all. I would do those... It was the Leicester Square New Act of the Year, right? I remember it. In 2016. Oh, I think it's the last one I did because then I moved out of London. And so it wasn't as appealing.
I mean, and I did it, so.
It wasn't as an appealing an idea. But they would give you pizza and I could drink as much beer as I wanted. And that's basically what got paid. So I don't remember much about the night.
That's
but,
so rock and roll.
I remember the pizza. It was great. So you're born in Russia, St. Petersburg.
Yes.
You're born in St. Petersburg, which I love. I've been to St. Petersburg.
How do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it?
He just said he loved it.
I love it.
Russia's best when you know you can leave.
Okay. That is probably true. It's a little bit scary. Now, let's talk about my interest in St. Petersburg comes because I'm very interested in Rasputin, the historical figure. But Russian people aren't that... Do you know much about Rasputin?
I do. He had a very big penis.
Well, so possibly.
I mean, it's just science.
That also possibly got cut off with a... It's
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I think a lot of people in Russia... Well, first of all, there's this, like, really murky kind of relationship with the royal family in Russia. I mean, the Russian royal family, just because of communism.
Yeah.
And, like, how the history is, like, drip-fed to people in very obscure ways. But I learned about Rasputin through 20th Century Fox cartoon Anastasia. Anybody seen that? Meg Ryan, John Cusack? No one has seen that cartoon?
People have seen it. He's a kind of evil figure in that cartoon.
And then I found out about the real guy, and that guy's like even more fucked up.
Well, arguably.
He claimed to cure hemophilia.
Well, he did cure hemophilia.
Did he?
Well, he stopped the
Prince fucked the Tsarina.
Well, he didn't do that.
Is that just a rumor?
Yeah, well, if that's the Boney M song. I mean, if you're going to take that as a historical source.
Where do you get your history?
That was the rumor. I think it's hard to say. I mean, I've done a lot of work on Rasputin.
Okay,
I've written two shows about Rasputin, one very comic about Boney M and one a bit more serious. And that's why I went to St. Petersburg to research the more serious one.
Oh, my God.
But
this feels like a trap.
No, it's interesting because a guy showed me around in St. Petersburg and he said not that many people in Russia really know much about Rasputin or care. The royal family have become like icons and saints and stuff, haven't they? So the communists killed all the royal family quite grottily.
Yeah.
But
then one girl survived and then she sang in the streets.
The film Anastasia, unfortunately, has proven not to be as true as one would hope.
There was a magic rat?
That's a really beguiling story. There's so much myth that comes out of that part of Russian history, which I think is interesting, which Rasputin becomes part of. None of the stuff that happened, that really, they talk about Rasputin, very little of it could logically have happened. But
you think he cured hemophilia?
Well, I think he did. He definitely did something that stopped the prince having, bleeding.
Okay.
Which might have just been as simple as the doctors were giving him aspirin, which is the wrong thing to do for hemophilia. So if he went in and said, "Stop, get rid of the doctors," then he wouldn't have taken aspirin, and then he wouldn't. It makes you bleed more if you take aspirin. So the doctors got it wrong there. Or he might just have calmed everyone down. Or he might be magic.
But I
don't think he is magic.
Okay.
And his penis...
So it wasn't big?
I don't think it was necessarily that big.
Where'd that rumor come from?
Well, because that's what everyone wants to believe. I mean, he might... He had sex with loads of people, but I don't think he had sex with the Tsarina.
But not the Tsarina.
His penis is meant to be on display in one of the museums in St. Petersburg, but it's a sea cucumber. Which I doubt was his penis. His autopsy mentions nothing about having his penis cut off. I know a lot about Rasputin. We could talk about him all day, but it's...
I feel like my childhood has been ruined.
But it's what a beautiful city, and I think it's interesting. I mean, it all kind of fell apart during the war, 1916, and the wealth of the royal family, and also Yusupov, who killed Rasputin. I went to his palace. It was insane, the amount of wealth against the amount of poverty in Russia there, which should be a lesson to us all in the future here, where you have basically billionaires and everyone else has nothing. Eventually, it goes a bit wrong for the billionaires. Fingers crossed.
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. It's just, I feel like every political regime that has ever been thought of has gone to Russia and they just fucked it every single time.
Yeah.
They were like... try communism, and they're like, we can't. We're just going to do it really, really poorly and kill everyone. And now they're like trying capitalism, and they're failing at that too.
Yeah,
I don't like Russia very much.
They're doing pretty well at taking over the world and installing their own leaders in each country.
Okay, what are we saying? What are we putting as good?
From their point of view, that's Putin's doing pretty well from his point of view, isn't he? He's got Trump in, which is his guy. He's got Boris Johnson in, his guy. Boris Johnson, who's not, as we're recording this, is not allowing the report about Russian interference in the Tory party to go out.
I know what's in them if anybody wants to tweet me.
But your family is... I mean, we can maybe talk about it later, but your family's kind of quite caught up, and your dad was the deputy prime minister of Russia for a little while. That's pretty cool thing to come out with.
I mean, it was cool when I was, at university trying to get, hot dudes to sleep with me. Just be like, hey, guess what? They never did.
It must work at our best. But Chelsea Clinton gets more than she has earned. I'd give Chelsea Clinton a go.
We'd all fuck Chelsea Clinton.
So it must have been that, my dad's deputy prime... I mean, to be fair, the deputy prime ministers of the United Kingdom, that was John Prescott for a while, wasn't it? Yeah, my dad's John Prescott. Yeah, I want to be the guy who fucked John Prescott's daughter. So what we maybe talk about, because you did do a show around that as well, but you left, as a teenager, you left Russia because your dad was presumably had fallen out of favour in the...
Yeah. He wasn't very popular.
And so you lived in England, Surrey, and went to the American,
God,
is that right?
It's so weird to have Richard Herring to tell your life story back to you.
Yeah. If I get it wrong, do let me know. I doubt I did. I knew everything about Rasputin, so... I haven't even been reading about him on Wikipedia today. But you went to America. You studied in America, in New York.
Yes, I went to university in America.
So because you were in something called the Upright Citizens Brigade, which is...
I took classes there.
Okay.
That is false advertising. It's like the improv place.
Right.
But I just took classes there.
Is that how you got into... Is that what sort of got you interested in comedy, or were you...
Oh, God. I should have really good answers to this, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, great, fantastic.
Especially if you've studied improv. You just make something up.
Richard Herring's roasting me. I think I started doing stand-up the way most stand-up started doing stand-up. I was very, very unattractive in high school.
So you were doing stuff that in the UK before you went to America, or you?
Yeah, I remember. So I did stuff in high school, and then I was I did a bunch of sketch. Oh my god, I'm just falling asleep talking about that. I did sketch comedy at university, and then I moved here, and I didn't know anybody, so I started doing stand up to meet people to do sketch comedy, and then I was like, I'm never sharing the stage with anybody else again. This feels great. I'm going to be a stand up comedian.
Yeah. Well, you're great. There's lots of clips online that people can go and check out, and check out those the videos.
Check out those clips.
Check out the videos of chopping cocks up. That's well worth seeing. It's really, you've got a very confident and strong persona, I would say, for someone who's pretty, you know, you were born in 1992, which makes me feel physically ill. That you could, I don't understand how you're an adult.
I have that effect on men.
That doesn't register to me. But you seem to have a very strong presence on stage and a persona very well worked out.
Thank you so much.
That's all right.
I mean, it does not translate to podcast appearances yet, but we'll get there.
It's all cool. The other thing I nearly introduced you with, which is awesome and you must watch, is Olga Koch Has Her Cake and Eats It.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a short film about you making an ex-boyfriend out of cake.
And eating him.
And then eating him.
And then vomiting him out.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing that appeals to me. I did a series of sketches about me building a sex robot out of toasters and then the complications that came from that. It sort of it reminded me of that. Is it cheating to have sex with a boyfriend made of cake? I don't think it is it? So if you're in a relationship, you're in the sketch, you're in a relationship.
I mean, it's not a sketch. The whole thing was true.
Yeah. Did you... So you made it...
He just keeps referring it to the sketch. It's by no means a sketch.
It was just a fly-on-the-wall documentary of you eating your boyfriend. I mean, you did do it.
I did do it, and it was an ex-boyfriend.
How far did you get through? His penis is an eclair.
His penis is an eclair.
Yeah. I mean, is his penis
an eclair? I don't understand the question.
Is his actual penis an eclair?
No.
Because that would be...
Also, very big penis.
Yeah,
hello, well, Raphael. Please don't beep this out. I still love you. No.
Is it not? I mean, in a way, if I was your ex-boyfriend watching that, it's sort of flattering.
Yeah, he loved it. He showed it to all his friends. Oh, of course you'd love that. Everyone loves a bit of attention.
Yeah. Oh. So what gave you the idea to eat him as a... What was the thinking behind it?
Well, I think I was really inspired by just female performance artists, and yeah. And it was like Marina Abramović and Sophie Calle, and I just finished Chris Krause's like I Love Dick at the time, and I was like, I'm going to do something like that. And then I made him to scale out of cake, and I remember I asked my friend Ali to come film it, and it, like the first 40 minutes, he's like, this is hilarious, and about 4 hours in, he's like, okay, I need to leave.
How far through did you actually get? It didn't seem like you got all the way.
No, of course not. And then I remember, like, I was volunteering at a school, and I showed up to the school with, like, his torso. It was like, don't ask questions. This is free cake.
I don't think you can give that to kids, that cake. I don't think that's right.
I mean, I ate the eclair.
Yeah.
Just the torso.
It's very good. Let me ask you some emergency questions.
Please.
Yeah, the people of Cambridge demand it. I'm going to go early, so they'll be happy. Okay, this is one of the earliest questions. If you had to have sex with an animal, if you had to, people are cheering. It's like being in a pop concert.
An octopus.
Which animal? Yeah, an octopus.
Yeah.
What appeals to you about the octopus?
Just 8 different tentacles.
Yeah.
Just everywhere.
Just want hands, you want tentacles all over you.
Yeah, it's like having group sex with one thing.
Yeah. And is the bit that shoots ink out different than its... Is that a third orifice, or does that come out of one of the... Has it got a cloaca, or has it got like sexual organs, a bum, and an ink thing, or is it all one? You need to research this more thoroughly if you're going to choose an octopus. Which is
no, because I'm trying to picture, like, am I thinking of like a tiny one, like the one that predicted the World Cup?
Yeah.
Or are we talking like Kraken from like a pirate story?
Yeah, I think.
Well, would I fuck a Kraken? Or is the Kraken fucking me? Oh my God, have you seen that Korean film? Is it The Handmaiden?
I haven't seen it.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's this, I think it's called The Handmaiden, and it's this like Korean fantasy film, and it was about these like two beautiful princesses who fall in love, and then there's like, and then there's an octopus that has sex with someone.
Well, I'm definitely watching
it.
It was
in theaters. It was genuinely in theaters. This is not a porno.
Is that why you jumped into octopus? You were very sure about octopus. I think you thought about that question before, is what I'm saying.
Independently, it's my favorite animal, and it has always been my favorite animal. And then I was like, but do I like it as more than a friend?
Would you go aquatic or would you go on the land with it? I mean, it's that...
No, underwater, 100%. Underwater, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. If an octopus that you'd had sex with came onto the land, do you think it would turn into a human like in another Disney film? I think we might have got a new Disney film. It does involve you fucking an octopus to start it, but the rest of it is going to be quite sweet. Like, you know, if you turned an octopus into a human, it would quite have big eyes. Be good, wouldn't it? Square ink. All right, this is a new emergency question, newer. If you could have any one item from any art gallery or museum in the world and you're allowed to keep it and take it home, is there something you would like to have from... You can take anything. It can be a work of art or an artifact from any museum or anything you've seen.
Rasputin's penis.
Yeah, I thought that might come up. It's not really his penis. You could have bought a sea cucumber. You're obsessed
that's
with
what
things
the
from the sea.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Yeah. What? You can have Rasputin's penis. I mean, I'd take it as a curio. Did you ever go to the Yusupov Palace and see where Rasputin was shot? I've been there.
No, I'm sorry.
So you're not interested. If I was Russian, I'd be all over Rasputin, and I'm not, and I am. Why wouldn't you be fascinated by that?
Well, you've just disproved all the fun stuff about him. He didn't fuck the Tsarina. His penis was not a sea cucumber. I'm not interested.
It's more interesting that he's become a myth in his own... You know, in 100 years, he's turned into a mythical figure.
What would you want attributed to you in, like, 100 years? Like Richard Herring had?
I mean, you know, if I wouldn't mind if it was the penis. I would sort of, like, if I could donate one thing to a museum, and people have done that, someone did... I went to the Penis Museum in Iceland, which before, that they have got a human penis there now. Someone donated their penis to it. But I, as I get older, I'm an old man now, and I sort of think, I'm not worried about dying, but I'm regretting the fact that my penis will not survive me. I feel my penis is more important than the rest of me. And it's good. I've got a good one. It's a nice one. So I'd kind of like it to be...
Do you want to hedge your bets and cut it off now?
I think I'll keep it. It's not much use to me anymore.
Okay.
So there is a point where you think, well, yeah, we'll take it off now and make sure it's all done well.
Right, cryogenically freezing.
And just pump it up. You've got to pump it up a bit. You've got to get it at the right moment so that it's... If you leave it too long, it'll just shrivel up and then it will, you know, look like Rasputin's penis in a jar. You've got to get it so you can pump it up and have it in its... But it'd be nice that... It should live on, shouldn't it? It's a shame that my penis will not survive my death. I don't care about any of the rest of the stuff. Uh-huh. It's a good one.
It's going to be in the Museum of Comedy.
I could put it in the museum.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, there's a new one about Muppet. There's a new Muppet one in here that I was going to ask you a different Muppet question. I'm sorry that everything's so genital-based, Olga. I don't know.
Usually happens with me. Have you heard my last name?
I've been very classy and not mentioned it, but just asked you about it, everything about it. It must be something to do. If your genitals had to be replaced by the face of one of the Muppets,
operative word being had to.
The face would be able to interact and communicate in exactly the same way as the puppet. Which Muppet face would replace your genitals? Please explain your thinking.
I mean, I have the worst answer ever. I don't know anything about the Muppets.
I can't believe
it. I'm so sorry. I've tried my best to assimilate as much as I can, but there's so much culture that I've missed out on that I'm just like, Mr. Blobby, like just trying to consume all of it.
I'll let you have...
So much shorter time.
I'll let you have Mr. Blobby. I'll count him as a Muppet.
All right, fine. My badge will be Mr. Blobby.
It'll be quite off-putting for anyone
who's... It won't look that different, am I right?
Do you know, so because you learn English by listening to The Simpsons, watching The Simpsons and Friends, is that correct? That's what I read somewhere?
It was Friends, and then I know nothing about The Simpsons either.
Oh, really?
This is
okay.
Horrible. This is, yeah. More of a Family Guy girl.
So you were learning English, right? You didn't just learn, you don't start everyone, could you be any more annoying? It's not like that. How you doing? It's not just things from Friends that you have to say.
Well, initially, yeah, it was like, because I was born right after the fall of the Iron Curtain. My mom, like both my parents, specifically my mom, was consuming American culture for the first time as I was. So she'd be watching Little Mermaid with me in the original, just being like, what? She's half fish.
But it's fascinating that change to, and you presumably can remember the, because advertising came in and things like McDonald's was coming in.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Oh my God, a crazy thing about McDonald's is like they would line up to go to the first ever McDonald's, which was in Moscow. And then they saved all the cups and the straws and like washed them and put them in their drawers.
Right.
Yeah, because they were like never seen like disposable cutlery before. It was fucking cool.
Yeah. So do you remember what life was like before all of that?
Oh, I was born like right after. So yeah. I was like the first kid in Russia to use a diaper.
Right. Hey, can you confirm that?
It was the first generation, diaper generation.
And what, throwaway diapers?
Yeah.
Nappies, that's nappies.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Nap. I just saw the people here in this theatre who are very confused.
English is my second language, I'm really sorry.
We understand diapers. So and then you left in the early 2000s, mid-2000s? Is that right?
Always? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. What have I got now?
This is quite triggering because it just sounds like an interrogation.
I'll try and avoid anything with references. Oh no, that one's about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Okay.
speaking of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. Okay, so people know that the current president of Ukraine was a comedian.
Yeah.
The previous one owned a chocolate factory.
Wow.
Isn't that even funnier?
Did the guy win the presidency from going into the chocolate factory, the new one, the comedian? That'd be good. What is your favourite kind of non-human milk to drink? Do you have milk in Russia?
That's very funny.
Thank you.
Oat.
Oat milk?
Oat is the one to go with. Everything else is bullshit.
Yeah, okay. My wife drinks coconut milk. My wife's gone off drinking milk. She saw Simon Amstel did a big... it wasn't really a documentary, was it? It was like a drama, but with lots of facts in it. And there was some horrible stuff about how cow milk is produced. I'm still drinking it. But I drink a bit more, if anything.
Yeah.
But just to make up for my wife stopping. She has coconut. She didn't really like the oat milk. Isn't it a bit... Isn't the consistency a bit...
I think coconut is too strong. Like okay. it just overwhelms the palate with itself.
Yeah.
And I just want the milk to be an addition to the flavor palette as opposed to the kind of solo.
Okay. This is all very millennial. They drink milk that hasn't come out of a teat. I do not approve. Has to come out. okay, we'll do one more of these and then we'll find out some more about your life. Okay, we'll ask this. They'll be happy. The audience will be happy about this. Would you rather have a tit that dispenses talcum powder? It's just for the audience.
Okay.
Just doing it for the audience. Or a finger that can travel through time. I mean, obviously it's a finger.
Wait, that can travel through time?
Yeah, your finger can go through time.
Okay.
Change anything in the past or the future or the present, but your finger can do that anyway.
Yeah.
But you can't go, and you can look in and see what's going on, and you can see what you're getting. So you can very mildly affect the past or the future with a digit.
Okay, so in the past, it's still my finger.
Yeah, it's still attached to you, so you're still controlling it. But if you were in the past, you would just see a finger floating and go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Where did that... But from your point of view, I understand what's going on. It's my finger. It's in the Middle Ages. It's touching Leonardo da Vinci. Or whatever. I mean, that you can choose something else.
It's like the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, you go, yeah, it could be. Maybe that was the subconscious. You got anything you'd like?
Or you
can have which no one chooses, you can have a talcum powder, press your tit and talcum powder will come out as much as you want.
I'm going to go for the tit talcum. Okay. Just because, I mean, I think as a kid, having watched Back to the Future and all the sci-fi stuff, you don't want to fuck with the time.
Well,
you don't want to end up in like the evil timeline in Back to the Future 2 where Biff owns the hotel and your mom has fake tits.
We're kind of in that timeline though, so maybe you could change that.
Yeah, so too many people chose the finger. Whereas like
it was because you chose the tit that defense. That could be the reason we're in this timeline, because you went for the tit, not going back in time.
No, what I'm
saying,
do, I'm
Obama, don't do those jokes about Donald Trump. It'll make him want to undo everything you've done. It's basically the reason. Don't you think that's... That speech that Obama did, have you seen that footage? It's a president's dinner and Obama's doing a little roast of everyone and Donald Trump's in the audience and he does about three jokes about Donald Trump and everyone's laughing and Donald Trump's sitting there going... And that moment, I think, was the moment Donald Trump decided, I'm going to become president, which he was also planning to, and I'm going to overturn every single thing that Obama has done. That's all he's doing.
You know that's going to be in a movie in like 50 years. That's definitely going to be like a plot point in a film. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, that's it. So you could go back, poke
still
Obama. It's not. I mean, I'm victim blaming because Obama was very funny and Donald Trump should have a better sense of humor about himself. I mean, he really should. But, you know, poke him in the eye and he can't do those jokes and then we'll all be all right. That was the moment. That's what destroyed Western civilization.
But watch what Mike Dick...
So you're doing, you're part of a little gang of newer comedians doing little films on with the BBC, like the ones we mentioned. There's another Monopoly for Millennials, which is lots of fun to watch.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So do you feel that? Do you feel there's like a new wave of, there's a lot of comedians I recognise in all the old films, really, the newer people.
Are
you working
friends.
Together?
I just don't have any friends. I suppose I feel like that's kind of every graduating class of comedians kind of sticks together.
Yeah,
because it's terrifying otherwise.
And what are you are you trying to do bigger things than writing these little things, or are you working on anything else in writing terms? Because you're obviously a good writer.
Am I?
Yes.
Oh my god. This is really stressful.
You wouldn't be on here if you. You wouldn't be on it if you weren't good, or unless you were really bad and just brought you in to just to get everyone to laugh at you, which it might be that. No, it's not that one. you're doing really fantastic work. And I wondered what... Because it's actually quite difficult. I think most comedians who've broken through are like 35, 40 now. And in my day, you could be 25 and get your own TV show with a bit of luck. But now it feels like it's a lot longer journey to get to that stage.
Maybe I could get my own podcast.
Well, you could do that now, and you probably have done it now, but you can do a podcast. That's the reason I'm doing podcasts, because no one else will employ me. And it's fine. It's worked out okay.
This is a fucking institution.
I know. It's worked out okay. But you know, that's... I can a third fill a theatre in Carton Gamebridge, which is a lot better than I could do when I was on telly, so that's fine. It's the dead medium. But is it something you're working towards, or you just...
Yeah, I think my career ambition is to one day perform at Cambridge Junction on Saturday, February 22nd, with my tour show.
Hooray!
Please come.
You must come. It's fantastic shows. You're throwing me off for a second. See, even I can crumble under the intense pressure of this podcast. Is it part of the plan? Do you have a plan, or you've done the Edinburgh shows, you've got this tour show, you did well. So the show that you got nominated for the Best Newcomer?
Yes.
And is that the show you're touring now?
No. So that, I've done as a radio special on Radio 4.
Yeah.
If you want to check that out. And also, fingers crossed, that is being developed into a TV show. But the second hour is the one that I'm touring now. And I'm writing a third one.
Cool.
And that is all I can... That's all my brain can fit.
Yeah. But, that is... It's the story about your... About Russia and about your dad, right?
So,
We don't have to give away the story, but it's a pretty amazing thing to have in the locker, isn't it? That your dad was the Deputy Prime Minister of Russia, that he kind of went missing, is that right?
Yeah.
In an airport. And he's all right.
As it was happening, I was like, I need to call HBO. They're going to love this.
Well, as a comedian, everything's kind of good, but you know, and it's a presumably a happy ending because he's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hasn't disappeared. He's not still in the airport. He's got out of the airport. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened in the actual story, but that's a pretty, you know, exciting thing to have once you've got through it, or as a comedian to have a story like that.
Yeah.
But A, you've got that connection to like a major political figure,
right.
And B, that there's this story about him, and presumably also about yourself and your own.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool story. I'm not going to lie, because it's not my own, so I'm very happy to objectively say it's a really good story. The problem with it is that he's not a very nice man. And me and my director and writing partner, Charlie Dinkin, who's incredible, we had to, like, sit down and just be like, I can't believe that the first thing that we're putting out into the universe is, like, us trying to make a dude look better than he actually is. And then the second hour that I wrote wasn't about an ex-boyfriend that I had, and he was terrible. And then we're like, no one's going to want to hear this if we make him that unlikable as he was in real life. So we were actively trying to make him a better boyfriend than he was.
Okay.
And so the 2 hours of comedy that I've put out into the universe are both about making white guys look better than they are. That is my legacy.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your work on that. And what's the next show going to be about? Do you know? Can you give us...
I know what I want it to be about.
Yeah.
So, this is not going to be funny, but I'm very excited about it. Okay. So I'm like... absolutely fascinated by ethnic enclaves everywhere around the world. Mm-hmm. Like Chinatown is an ethnic enclave. Yeah. Like we're in Cambridge, you know what the fuck it is. And so essentially my family comes, so my last name is German, and so they come from a German ethnic enclave in Russia. And then for high school, I went to an American high school here in England, which was in itself a sort of ethnic enclave. And how my whole, like, even my name, Olga, is the most common name in Russia, and Koch is the most common name, last name in Germany, and how this, like, idea of ethnic enclaves has just been a theme in my life.
Okay. Yeah.
And do you know the oldest Chinatown in the world? I think it was opened in 1594 in Manila.
Oh. I'd have gone for somewhere in China.
That is very good.
Manila.
Yeah.
Where the envelopes come from.
Hey!
Where is Manila? I can't think where it is, genuinely.
It's the Philippines.
Yeah, okay, good.
Oh, thank fucking God.
That's good.
You asked me a serious question and then you did really good punchline.
That's my job. That's what I do.
I should learn.
And so, fluent at least in English and Russian. Do you do comedy in Russian? I saw something that it doesn't. Do you don't feel it works in Russian?
I made the horrible mistake of not preparing a set in Russian. I just thought I'd translate my English stuff, but okay. Russian has more words in it, so the puns don't work.
Right. So it must. There are Russian stand-ups, though, right? I mean, there are Russians who who work in Russian. It's not like an impossible.
Oh no, it is possible. You just have to like do it.
Do some work. Because in German, the order of all the sentences is sort of the other way around. Is it similar to that? So that you're...
Yeah, well, so in German, you can't do like a pullback and reveal because the word order means you start with the last word.
Yeah.
And so that messes everything up.
Yeah.
But in Russian, I think it's just that we have so many words that you can't do wordplay as easily.
Yeah.
And also, people are just more sensitive.
I've got quite a lot. I've got quite a lot of Russian fans. There's a group of people in Russia who translate all my DVDs and put up the... Is it you? Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. Nice to get you on. So my comedy translates into Russian, that's what I'm saying. But it's quite good fun to work because I talk way too fast. And my shows are, I do long shows where I talk very, very fast. And I think I've watched one where it's a man over the top, just very, very quickly speaking in Russian. And I won't try and do the voice. I'll do Russian. Oh, I am Russian. It's like that. Could you basically understand what I was saying there? It's basically so close to being
You should
Russian.
Get one of those. Oh my, the ladies that like do British sign language as the rappers rap. Have you seen videos of that? It's so cool. Because they really get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had that in with my Birmingham Rehlestapa. Kid, I had to look at you. this is so crazy. We were interpreted for that, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, you must have had that at a gig sometimes. You had that at a gig? It's a lot of fun because you deliberately just try and say as rude things as you can, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah.
I was doing karaoke in Edinburgh. And a guy went on stage, and he signed the entirety of Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Is he here now?
we'll get him on to do it. I've got a lot of problems with Skater Boy.
Tell me.
Well.
Let's go.
I've got a lot of problems with it. It doesn't really make sense. Because how he says...
He was a boy, she was a girl. Can she make it any more obvious?
I think there's a lot of presumptions. I mean, there's a lot of people who are boys and girls, and there's nothing obvious going on. He's never going to tell that he fancies this woman, but somehow Avril Lavigne knows about it. It's all about having a go at the woman for being the object of his affection without... He's never told her that he fancies her, but he's having a go at her. And then she ends up pregnant and Avril Lavigne sort of crowing, I'm going out with this cool bloke and you're not. And she didn't even know he fancied her. Seems very unfair to me. Also, there's a time shift in it. It goes 5 years from now, halfway through the song. You can't do that in a song. You can't go, I'm now going 5 years into the future. Can't go from now. 5 years from now, she's at home having a baby. She's all
and
alone.
And there's a floating finger.
Yeah. I wrote a blog about it. Look that up. I can't remember everything else.
I mean, yeah, there was this like really big like flash in the 90s and the 2000s where they were like, it felt feminist, but then you dug into it and you're like, absolutely in no way. This is horrible. All these women are awful to each other.
And I think Avril Lavigne, and I think is it partly a true story? She basically went out with someone and then she's not... She hasn't got any foresight. In 10 years' time, that skater boy will be fucking someone else, Avril, which he probably is anyway. You've got fucking... Just
okay,
have a sense of your own... Have a sense of how stupid you are. You're not cool for going out with an ex-skater boy who's a rock star. A pop career is a fragile thing. It probably won't be going in 10 years. It'll be working in a bank. And you'll have gone somewhere else.
Okay, fair enough.
It's furious
not okay.
With Avril.
It's not okay to bully a pregnant woman, but do you not think having been married to Chad Kroeger of Nickelback is punishment enough?
You may be right. Anyway, we'll leave that behind. You started...
The thing is, she married him after everybody was like, Nickelback is a bad band. That's horrible. That's like, yeah, I don't know, applying to Lehman Brothers. For a job.
You studied computer science. I should have put this at the start because my crowd would have gone wild, right? There's a lot of very excited men who work in IT out there now, knowing that a one woman has entered their world.
Oh, man.
What did you learn when you were studying computer science?
That men are sexist and I don't want to hang out with them.
It's only the kind of guys who choose that kind of living, to be fair, who are... You know, my bread and butter, I'm not going to knock them too much, but they're awful people, these people. Thanks for coming to the show and all the years of support. But try and be less sexist. So if you were less sexist, more women would work with you and you wouldn't be so sad. But let's carry on being sexist for now. I've got Grayson Perry coming on very shortly, as we're recording this, and not now. His book's about the descent of man. It's sort of about how...
It's a very good book.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
Have you read the book?
Yeah.
It's really good. I was listening to it on the way up. Good. Well, look, you got your tour coming up, you've got a new show coming up. Is there anything else in the pipeline in terms of... radio or TV?
I got some really hot Instagram stories dropping in the next couple of days. I'd keep your eyes peeled.
Okay. I'll ask you a couple more emergency questions. And And then we will see what we will see. Keep on coming up with the burp one. I don't want to ask you that. That's no good.
What's the burp one?
It's about me. It's about when I was at school, there was a minute silence at the Ascension Day service. And I did it. And my dad was the headmaster. He said, let's have a minute silence. And that during the minute silence, I did a massive burp that was like, but I thought it'd be funny to do a burp, but it was the loudest burp that's ever been done in human history. And then my dad had to deal with that. It's a pivotal moment in one of my shows about how my dad would react. He looked in, I think he suspected it was me, so he didn't do anything because it would have been kind of weird for him, right, if he'd hauled me out for burping in the Ascension Day service. I can't remember what the actual story is.
Wait, what was the minute of silence for?
You know, for the war dead or something, or for Jesus or something like that.
Do you want to have a burping contest right now?
Yeah. I don't need.
Oh, really?
You
don't need it.
I don't need.
I'll do it. Okay.
Oh, Bill. Last time I had to do this though, I did. There was a podcast with Rob Rouse where I don't know if people have seen this one, where I had to fart on stage and was unable to do so. And I was going, yeah, I can fart, it will. And then I couldn't fart. So I've been arrogant. I've got hubris with my effluent. I've gone.
Fucking hell, it's not good. Oh. I was suppressing so many while he was talking, and now. Do you want.
No, what? That was me, people at home. Oh, wait.
That was
very
pathetic.
Weak. Given how much carbonated water you drank in order for that to come out. It's difficult under the pressure of the lights. I mean, you know, in a gentleman's toilet, I can wee like Billy-O. I was talking about to Charlie Brooker about doing a wee that lasted 3 minutes. If I had to get up and wee on the floor here right now, I wouldn't be able to do it. Shall we try that? Do you want a weeing contest? Did you ever do anything like that? Is there a moment from school days where you did something that was transgressed all the decency of society?
Can we ask another one?
I mean, your dad. See, my dad was my headmaster. Your dad was your deputy prime minister. That is, you know, we're in a similar position. It's a difficult thing. It scarred me. Do you think that's? It's interesting that a lot of comedians have like an authority figure, father. I think that is a. Again, there's all these theories about different reasons people become comedians, but there do seem to be a lot of comedians who are like sons of vicars or bishops or teachers or headmasters, politicians sometimes. Do you think that's what... Do you think that drove you into comedy?
All I can think about is a burp brewing. I definitely think so. Definitely, just because I feel... Yeah, I don't necessarily know if I can make that connection, but there is definitely a pattern.
Yeah. Was there any weird... Living in the... How old were you at the time he was the Deputy Prime Minister?
I barely remember. It was like 4 or 5.
Right, okay. So there wasn't any, like, people at school going, yeah, your dad's Deputy Prime Minister. I'm going to bully you.
I'm not sure I would understand that.
No. If they'd said it in English. If I'd come in as a 25-year-old man going, yeah, your dad's the Deputy Prime Minister of Russia, you idiot. If I could travel through time, that's what I'm doing.
That would work on me.
That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Well, look, this is what's come up. Is it better to have loved and lost than to have to eat nothing but Pop-Tarts for a year? I mean, Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, it is better than that. Yeah. You prefer to have loved and lost.
Yeah.
Do you think...
Because then I could make content.
Yeah, well, so you can eat cake... Let them eat cake.
I could make a boyfriend out of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, you could do that. You could use my toaster robot to do it with.
Oh, my God, is that them two fucking?
Yeah.
We walk in on
Let's
them
bring
fucking?
It together. Let's bring
oh,
it
man,
together.
That's amazing.
So I think, but you know, I think loving and I think it's important to love and lose before you can love properly as well. I think you need to go through that. It's a kind of, you know, I've been in relationships where I knew it was going to end, I think, and yet the moment of being happy enough in the moment of love to know it was worth the pain that would come afterwards.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine now, but, you know, I've had breakups that I would... That, you know, as you get older, it doesn't matter anymore. Yes, there we go. There we go. I'm glad I gave you some extra length on your mic now. The questions late in this book are fucking weak. I have to say,
anyone that you loved and you lost.
It's all right. No, it's fine. It's what it deserved. If you're going to buy the book Emergency Questions, which is available in the foyer after the show, just use the early ones. I'm going to give you some of the late ones. Would you rather suck off a troll or be bummed by a leprechaun? It's good. I knew it was good, really. What do you think? I mean, like, being bummed by a leprechaun, it's got to be barely noticeable. A leprechaun's a tiny thing. A troll, I imagine, has
Off a troll, that's just a Saturday night for me.
No. I think a troll probably has a barbed penis. Like a fish hook. You'd get it in and then the... Whereas I don't think a leprechaun has a barbed penis. So I think it's just got a little tiny Irish penis.
Might be on a bed of curly ginger hair.
Yeah. I think it might be quite a mushroomy penis. I wouldn't mind. I would have a go at that.
You'd get lucky with a leprechaun?
Yeah. If you can either you get his pot of gold or he goes, you can have my pot of gold or I'll bum you. Which do you want? And I would go, I'm interested in the bumming, actually. My money, that's a story, isn't it? I was bummed by a leprechaun. I go, here's my gold. Okay, we're going to do one more. It's got to be a good one. Why is it all time traveling cocks in this book? What the fuck is wrong with this book? I'm going to find a good one. All right, this isn't going to be the last one. This is question 964. This is where I was struggling to write questions. Do you have an envelope cupboard? I do. I have a cupboard where I keep my envelopes.
Manila?
Some of them are Manila envelopes, probably. I don't know what. I've been in a film called Manila Envelopes. That's one of my. If you were going to. What I'm best known for, I was in a film called Manila Envelopes that I don't think was ever released, in which I played a character called. What's the guy from The Hacienda called? Tony Wilson. My character was called Tony Wilson. I was an interviewer. I think Tony Wilson was meant to play the part. Because that's what the character was called all the way through. It was quite a bad film. A man came up to me during the film in the camera and said, I just want to say how much I love your work. I went, oh, really? Thanks. That's good. He was like a Spanish guy. So you're amazing. What you've done is incredible. It's amazing. He's going, oh, thanks. Have you seen my stuff? He said, it's all over Spain. It's great, incredible. He thought I was Tony Wilson. And so I just fronted out and pretended I was Tony Wilson. I said, oh, thanks, mate. That's good. Yeah. Bez is great. Right. There's 25 bonus questions at the end of the new book. And I feel sorry for the people at home who bought the original book and didn't get the 25 extra questions. Hey, look, there's a whole section here that is just for you. Question 14 of the bonus questions. Have you ever colluded with a Russian? Not allowed to say. Question 15. Have you ever canoodled with a Russian?
No, absolutely
have you not.
No, absolutely not. Disgusting. Only my brother.
Have you ever canoed with a Russian?
This is very good.
Good, thank you. Have you?
No, but could that be like a prize that people bid on at the end of this podcast for charity?
Yeah, you can. Would you be prepared to go and...
If we did a
raffle, would you be prepared to go canoeing with one of these men from... I don't think you should. I think it'll start... It'll be like Deliverance just right from the start. Just get out of the boat. It's been fantastic to have you on. I'm a massive fan. Do check out the Olga's tour. Do go and see her at the Cambridge Junction. It's the kind of place I used to play in the old days. And I think you might be seeing me back there again. There's the Cambridge Corn Exchange. People are mentally ill and are happy with what's gone on tonight. In terms of sales. Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause. Olga Koch!
Thank you so much for having me.
Go and have a drink and a wee, and we'll see you in a bit. Thank you. You have been listening to Rahala Stopper with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Olga Koch. Thank you to Pest for providing the musical accompaniment to these credits.
I would like to thank everyone at the Cambridge Corn Exchange. I would like to also thank myself for being fantastic. I'd like to thank Chris Evans, not that one, for all of his hard work. I'd like to thank everyone who knows me and my mum and dad. The producer of this show, I think, was James Hingley. If not, I just did it myself. I was all right. I'm indebted to my series producer, Ben Walker. My executive producer is Sarah Gage. She was a good executive producer. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStrike.com production. Check out twitch.tv/RKHerring for loads more content. Check out GoFasterStrike.com/badges or just GoFasterStrike.com and help us through this crisis. Maybe you're beyond the crisis and listening to it during another crisis. Help us through that crisis too. It's just going to be crisis all the way now. Thanks very much for listening and watching. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for fantastic downloads and books and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out. That would be lovely. All right, RichardHerring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It'll make me feel sad.